Allah Ta'ala has blessed us and gathered us again for another Shalat al-Jumu'ah. For this is indeed a blessed day in the life of the believer. For this is that special day in which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has singled out and ordered the believers to leave aside all of their worldly pursuits and come together in a jama'ah, in a group setting, so that we may encourage one another to do what is right and discourage one another from doing what is wrong, and that we may be of help and assistance to one another. Amen. This afternoon I'd like to remind myself and share with you a most beautiful khutbah that Imam Misbah Straightway School shared with us on Eid Day. As I thought and pondered on the khutbah, I realized that it was a reminder for all times, not just for Eid Day. The story that we've heard so often about Ibrahim alayhi salam, his wife Hagar, and his son Ishmael. But so often we read these stories and we miss so many of the nuances in the story. And it is in the nuances of the story that lie hidden some of the most beautiful and the best and the deepest of lessons in the nuances of the story. So as the story goes, Ibrahim, alayhi salam, Prophet of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, growing old in age and had no son nor heir, makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a son. His wife is there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers his prayer, gives him a wife, Hagar, in addition to his existing wife, Sarah. And they have a child. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the dua. First lesson. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does answer dua. Now, we make dua, all of us. And we get a lot of the things that we ask for, some of the things. But with everything that we get, or everything that we have, it's a package deal. There is no such thing that there's anything isolated. Pray for a wife, you get a wife. A wife is not just a person, it's a package. Someone you deal with every day. Pray for children, you get children. The trials, the tests, the ups and downs, you get it. It's a package. So, you have a wife and a child, disharmony in the home, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him in the dream. Take your wife, Hagar, and your son to a faraway place. That's an awesome test. Think about this story. He's leaving a place, established place where there are people, food, water, drink, things, souk. He's going away to a place where there's nothing. Travels however long, stops at a place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him to stop, and then he eventually informs Hagar that he's leaving. What? You're going to leave us in the middle of the desert, nobody's around, no food, no water, no sustenance, you're going to leave us here? That was the dialogue between Hagar and Ibrahim. And he didn't respond. And he started to leave. And look at from Hagar's perspective. She's questioning him. What's going on here? Then she says, Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command you to do this? And he died. And the dialogue ceased between Hagar and Ibrahim. She didn't run after him, curse him, first question him anymore as to his leaving her and their child there alone. Think about this among the rest of us. If any of us left our wife in a city with a refrigerator full of food in a car and left them, our wives, what would it be? Hey, what's the matter with you? You know, we get an endless dialogue of questioning. But when he said, when she asked him, think about, she asked him though, she said, because she knew who he was, and he was guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command you to do this? And he nodded. And she turned around and went back. Distance increases and he's out of sight and gone. And there she is with baby Ishmael. What are you doing? Is he doing? So in her mind, she still has three things, which is the topic of my khutbah. Three things that enabled her, Ibrahim, Ishmael, all of them to be who they are. Three things. Amen. Faith in Allah. And not just faith, like, you know, when you say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and then you worry, and you lament, and you fuss, and you argue, why this, why that? How come this? Why don't I have this? Why is this this way? Not that kind of faith. Not that kind of iman. A high level of iman, which leads to the second point of tawakkul. Trust. Trust. The difference between faith and the level of iman of trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like the distance of night and day. Huge. Because those, the world is full of, the masjids are full of people who say, I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they don't trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan is omnipotent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan includes you and yours. Well, I said, he is the one who is an expert on your affairs, our affairs, my affair, your affairs. The expert, whatever situation you're in, as a believer, you know you're not in it alone. Whether it's finances, relationships, health, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our condition better than we know our condition. And those who have iman and struggle to raise that level of iman evolve to trust. Whatever my situation is, I trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows my situation better than I know it. Because He created me. He's the one who owns the fadl. It's described in Quran, fadlullah. The one that doles out the ni'mah. The what you have, what you got, what you can do with what you have. And is an expert on it. That's where you get to the tawakkul. Tawakkul. That I trust. I know it. I believe and I know this as a fact. I know it as a fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has my condition, my circumstances within the realm of His expert knowledge of it. Better than I know my own condition. Go back. Hagar and Ishmael. They didn't know that there was an endless well underneath the ground, did they? Those of us who've studied and found out, what is this damn, damn well they had been ran dry. Wells run dry, don't they? Anybody who's been in a rural area, two things interesting to bring out of the nuance of this story. Okay, Hagar is running back and forth between Sapa and Marwa, and baby Ishmael is laying there, and he's scratching and standing. What? Water comes bubbling up. Anybody who knows anything about wells knows water doesn't come bubbling up. You dig a well. I mean, takes energy. Sometimes they dig and dynamite it. You got to dig to get into the water table. Water is bubbling up. Not only is this water bubbling up to the surface of this well we call Dam Dam, but it's an endless well. They trace this well in fissures underneath Mecca going all the way to the Red Sea. So the water from the Red Sea is coming underneath the earth, feeding this well, and it appears to be endless. 1500 years and still water. All Haji just came back after the Dam Dam, didn't he? And it doesn't run out. Hasn't ran out. So look at work. Let's go back. We can see just that one Nehemiah, the water. They didn't know there was water there, did they? No. Ibrahim didn't know, Abay Salam didn't know there was water there. Hagar didn't know. None of them knew. But they had trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He would do something for them. First thing you need in the desert is what? Say, water. You need some water. And the water was already there. Think about this deeply for a moment. The water was there before they got there. The water was there before they arrived. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them to the spot where the water was. The water is endless. That's what's important, is that. There's an ayat in the Quran that says, Allah does provide for you from sources that you never could imagine. And if anyone puts their trust in Allah, Allah will be sufficient for them. And for all things does He appoint a duration of time. Classic. Allah provided for them before they even knew that they needed what they were going to need. The water was there before Ishmael was born, before any of them. The water was there, already there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had provided the water, their well, already there before they even imagined that there was water there. So the Nehemiah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's slave, was waiting for the slave to arrive to partake of the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was waiting for them, already there. They didn't know it was there, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew it was there. And they trusted in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He was going to provide for them. There were no people there. Now that there's water in the middle of the desert, that what? Attracts people. Now what do we see? A city of where people from all over every corner of the earth whose deep desires are to travel to that place and to drink some damn water among other things. Think about what I just shared with you, the nuance of that story of the faith, the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trust in Allah that He is the expert on our affairs. Knows what we need before we know we need it. It's already there, waiting at the destination for the believer or any person, believer or non-believer, a human being to arrive. Because the Nehemiah is given to everybody. Believers, unbelievers, dogs, horses, cats, birds, everything is partaking from Allah in the form of their Nehemiah. Already written. It's there, waiting. That's why, as believers in this religion, with the knowledge that has been bestowed upon us, the believer, it should be easy for the believer to catapult himself to that level of a man of trust. And inshallah, the second part of the clip, I'll share with you that third important element that will be a result of the first two. And also, kind of like God have mercy in all of us, and God has all the pushes. Just put our trust in Allah. Our trust in Allah. Allah will be enough for us. And for every situation, desirable or undesirable, there is a duration of time. With every difficulty, with it is the solution, is the relief. It is the answer to the problem. With it, just as when Ibrahim and Hagar were traveling to Mecca, the water was already there, waiting for them to arrive. It was there. It was a package deal. They just didn't know it was there. But they had faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He would take care of them, that He would not forsake them, that He would not let them die of thirst in the middle of the desert, that He would not let them starve in the middle of the desert, that they would not hear all of the things of their hopes and dreams. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of them, protected them, and they are legends, icons in the annals of believers, because they had high level of faith, which catapulted them to trust in Allah. And after they dwelled and in the trust of Allah, they developed what we call yaqeen, certainty. When you get to that point, certainty that you know in the depths of your heart, no matter what the naysayers say, no matter what all the negative comments that people make, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an expert on your affairs, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees and hears you, knows what's in your heart, your mind, your dua, and Allah is with you every place and all the time, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forsake you. Certainty. You know it like you know your own name. You know it like you know your mother and father. You know it deep in the depths of your heart, and you have the certainty of the hereafter, that this dunya is only a little while. All of the ups and downs, the desires, the undesirable things, all of it is just passing on the journey, through life to go to the real destination of the Akhirah. So don't let it get you down. Don't let all this dunya bother you. Don't get too excited if you got a lot of stuff. Don't get down if you got a little bit of stuff. Because you're really not going to last that long anyway. But have a certainty in your heart that you are to meet our Lord, and that Allah is the all-forgiving, the all-merciful, the one always ready to accept repentance and his slaves coming back to them. In conclusion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say to my slaves, do not ever be in despair of my rahmah, for I am al-Ghafoor al-Rahim. I forgive all sins and I am the all-merciful. Don't ever be in despair. And know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us, knows our situation, expert on our faith, and hold it in your heart with certainty that your Lord will not forsake you. For Allah described the attribute of Rahmah to Himself. He names Himself Al-Rahim, Al-Rahman, Al-Ghafoor. So many beautiful names that He's named Himself, so that we can know with certainty that our Lord is with us and will never forsake us. And all of the ups and downs and haves and have not in this dunya is nothing but the blink of an eye. And in conclusion, Allah says in the Quran, and in the end, you shall all be returned to me. And I will tell you the truth and the meaning of all that you have done. And none of mankind can tell you like the one who is an expert on all of it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on me and all of us, and God is always close to us, guiding life. Oh Allah, put the light in front of us and behind us, on our right and on our left, above us and below us, in our hearts and our mind and our whole existence. Oh Allah, please brighten our faces on the day that some of the faces will be blackened with gloom and shame. Oh Allah, so order us that we may be grateful for the gifts and the blessings which you have bestowed upon us and our families, and that we may work righteousness that will please you, and admit us, O Lord, by your rahmah to the ranks of your righteous service. And O Allah, please unite us and all of our family members in the religion of Islam. And let us all die as Muslims. Truly, O Lord, that is a great victory. Amen. As-salamu alaykum.